Interpolator, what's happened to you?
Stop playing those awful tunes, that's what...
No, Bernie, this is serious. We have to find out what's gone wrong. Hold on tight, everyone.
The Rootmasters by Andrew McGibbon. Episode 4, Wolfie and Beatty.
Can't see a damn thing in this cloud. How close are we to Dover, Tappy?
Eight or nine miles, sir. We keep drifting off overhead, eh? I think there's something wrong with the compass.
Well, perhaps if you removed your magnetized picture of Vera Lynn from behind it, we might be able to find magnetic north.
You come to choir practice tonight, sir.
Sorry?
Well, we need a good tenor like you. We lost three last night. Terrible it was.
Tappy, I can't sing. And even if I could, the last thing I would ever want to do is join a Welsh male voice choir. Even for fun, and even if there's a war on.
So there's no harm in asking?
No, Tappy, there is harm in asking. I want you to promise that you will never ask me to come to choir practice ever again. Now, maintain 1,000 feet and keep a good lookout. I think it's time I checked on our passenger. Are you comfortable in the back there, Mr. Miller?
Well, yes, but I don't know how long you can fly in this. How much longer will we be in the air? Only my band are waiting for me. See, I got the new arrangement for String of Pearls.
At this rate, sir, I think we'll be on the ground in about 20 minutes. Or in the water in about 10.
Is that some kind of joke, buddy? Do you know who I am? I am Glenn Miller. A crap pilot's like you every day. Fucking limey wise guy. Just fly the goddamn plane.
Well, if you need anything, I'll be at the front. Grumpy old bastard. Very kind of cheering.
What in the name of St. David was that?
Keep her steady. I'll take our precious cargo. Sir, you might want to buckle your... Oh, my God, Miller's disappeared.
What do you mean?
I mean, he's disappeared, Taffy. That means he's not in the plane anymore.
Maybe he stepped out for some air, sir.
Taffy?
Yes, sir?
Taffy, if you're standing next to me and I'm standing at the rear end of the fuselage, then who is flying the plane?
The autopilot, sir.
This aircraft doesn't have an autopilot, Taffy. You're the autopilot. You're Welsh and you're an autopilot. Normally, that would be a completely reliable combination. In your case, it's going to prove disastrous. In fact, I'd very much like to kill you now. Unfortunately, I don't think there's enough time.
Shame, sir. Why's that, then?
Because you've managed to kill all of us instead.
My poor interpolator. What could have happened? Even Herr Grubman's zither has changed shape.
Yeah, but at least it's a bit easier to play, if not as pleasant to listen to.
Conductor here, you can tilt her on the time toll filling over this Londonian.
Spikea, why not put on one of these translators? Then we won't have so much trouble understanding your laughable 24th century dialect. Oh, bugger, it's still talking in poodle.
Well, this is clearer than she was before.
I feel she is trying to ask...
Give me that.
Can't we go anywhere as this time box?
Yeah, as long as it's where he wants to go.
Now, that's not true, Bernie. We went to Rome just as the Sistine Chapel was being finished. There aren't many people who can say they've done that.
Yeah, but I didn't want to go there.
Yes, but you quite enjoyed yourself, didn't you?
I wanted to go home.
You know what your trouble is, Bernie? You just don't have an inquiring mind, not like Spikea. Look at her, just bursting to ask more questions. Ask another Spikea.
What does the driver look like?
Please don't ask questions about the driver, Spikea.
But I'd like to know.
Yeah, so would I.
Yes, but sometimes one is better off not knowing everything.
All right.
If you insist, then I suppose I have no choice but to show you the driver. I warn you, however, you may never recover from the trauma. Driver, show yourself.
Oh, my. Doctor, what's that?
I warned you, Bernie.
Doctor, I don't believe it.
Yes, Bernie.
It's a...
A glove puppet.
Yes, I'm sorry, but they insisted, driver.
Are you trying to tell me that the driver of this time bus is a glove puppet?
He may look like a glove puppet to you, but far into the future, glove puppets are able to perform many useful functions without needing to be operated by an untalented and unfashionably dressed sidekick. He has, in his soft woolen head, the knowledge of an infinite number of time routes.
Yeah, but how does he reach the pedals?
He doesn't need to, Bernie. The driver works with the interpolator. They are linked together by a catalytic relativity assimilation parallel.
Crap!
Yes. Anyway, if you two have finished gawking, driver?
Yes?
It's time to go back into your cab.
Oh, no!
Now, come on. Come on, don't be difficult. You want everyone to sing you a lullaby?
Yeah.
I haven't got time for this, driver. Come on, come on, back in your cab at once.
No, I won't.
Interpolator?
I obey. Back to my cab.
Bye-bye, driver.
Bye-bye.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is our driver. He may not look like much, but he knows where we're going and how to get us there. This whole incident has been very embarrassing. Never ask me about the driver ever again. Do you understand?
Yes, Conductor. Rear.
Fraubon, I've heard so much about your young charge's talent. It reminds me of when I was his age, beguiling audiences across Europe with my genius, charming old ladies out of the trees and ravishing young ones underneath them. Or was it the other way around? I can never remember. But look what has become of me. Now I am 34 and penniless. It embarrasses me to say that teaching young Beethoven for whatever you can afford to pay me means more than anything else at the moment.
Oh, well, I'm very sorry to hear that. But what I had in mind could help us all to make a lot more money.
Anything that could make us a lot of money would be welcome. But I will not kowtow to those in authority or craft music specifically for their liking. I live to compose, Hildegard. I do not live to make money.
I promise you, my idea will allow you to compose and make money. But enough of this. I would like you to meet your new partner. Ludwig, you can come in now. Ludwig! Wolfgang, please excuse me while I find out where he's gone. What's the matter with you, Jello Nibbler? Did you not successfully transfer into the body of Beethoven?
Yes, Hildegard, but you made it very clear to me that Beethoven was dead. So if you call my name, I'm hardly going to come bounding through the door, am I?
Beethoven went deaf in his 30s, lentil brain.
Yeah.
At the moment, he's 16 and a little hard of hearing, that's all.
So what do I do with this?
You're meant to stick it in your ear, not play notes on it. You don't need it anyway. He's waiting to see you. Don't make an idiot of yourself. Convince him that Beethoven collaborating with Mozart is a brilliant idea.
Okay. Hi, you must be Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
I answer to that name.
My name is Ludwig van Beethoven, but you can call me Raymond.
Oh, give me strength.
It doesn't sound anything like a tether. It has no tone. And what of your sweet and charming interpolator? What's that happened?
Clearly a profound and far-reaching alteration of musical harmony has taken place. Somewhere along the timeline, a number of different musical elements which would normally have developed over centuries appear to have been removed. The result? A total implosion of polyphony, a disgusting and disgraceful insult to the ears.
What, you mean like a Steps concert conductor?
A Bernie.
And I suppose Ray and Hilda are the star presenters of this disaster?
Almost certainly. I know, my friend, but we will get your voice back. In the meantime, run your revision.
That was the first movement of Mozart's Peggy Sue Concerto in A major for violins, played by the Salzburg String Orchestra, recorded at the Golders Green Hippodrome. Well, now on Radio 3, the composer Beethoven, only 17 when he mysteriously disappeared from Vienna in 1791, nevertheless found time in his short life to collaborate with a number of composers, including an unknown American. The result of this particular union was entitled Moonlight Serrata.
So, there he is, on his knees, pretending to be a dog. Anyway, I throw this stick into the woods, but he's not moving. So I shout, Haydn, seek. Haydn, seek. Like the game.
Oh, that's a dreadful joke. That you could insult my friend and confidant in such a way. I like you, but you should wash behind your ears more often.
Well, so should you.
Have some more Zekertorte, Ludwig.
I couldn't possibly eat any more.
Ludwig?
Well, if you insist.
So, when do you want to put on this testimonial concert?
Well, as soon as possible. I thought we could collaborate on a few pieces. On stage, we'll perform together. How's this for a name? Beatty, Wolfie, and their two pianos live.
I won't play unless my name comes first.
Okay. How about Wolfie and Beatty and their two pianos live?
I prefer that. Have some more Zekertorte.
Yeah, it's got a certain ring to it, all right. Beatty and Wolfie and their two pianos live, with full support.
Wolfie and Beatty. And I don't need supporting on stage. Just a piano stool.
No, you don't understand. Before we come on stage, a small collection of groups inferior to us will perform, to warm up the audience.
Then what happens?
Well, then the stage goes black. A spotlight slowly opens up to reveal my piano.
What?
Your piano. Then another reveals mine. The crowd starts to roar. You and I walk on stage. The audience goes mad. You can hear their noise ringing in your ears, which is quite a relief when you suffer like I do from tinnitus. Then we sit at the keyboard and knock 'em dead.
And where in Vienna will we perform these stylish duets?
Well, we're not performing in Vienna.
Not performing in Vienna? Where else is there to perform?
Well, we'll be playing in a new town, high in the mountains. And far into the future.
High in the mountains? Where?
Oh, don't worry about that. Hildegard's got all that sorted out. You know that tangy raspberry sauce you serve with your Zekertorte?
Zekertorte.
Yeah, it really plays off the flavor of the cream cheese. Delicious, if somewhat heavy.
Raspberry sauce. Don't be ridiculous. It's fresh pig's blood, gently warmed over a stove, dribbled over the pastry.
Oh.
Now, I must go to my piano.
And I must go to the toilet. Good day, Wolfgang.
Yes.
May I say, conductor, how comfortable these little seats are up here. I've had some most refreshing nap.
Spikea, go and help Herr Grubman. Those stairs are difficult to judge even with perfect eyesight.
Yes, conductor here.
Do not trouble yourself. Blindness may have taken away my sight, but it rewards me with an instinct for knowing where the first step is.
Oh! Hey, Grubman, are you all right? Can you hear my voice?
Oh. Where am I? Who are you?
Don't worry, you're safe. How many fingers am I holding up, Herr Grubman?
He's blind, conductor.
Yes, Bernie, but he's also telepathic. How many fingers do you know that I know you think I am holding up?
I can see very clearly. I'm not blind. You're holding up three. And why do you keep calling me Herr Grubman? My name is Professor Ziggy Braun.
Professor Ziggy Braun? Are you Hildegard's father?
You know my daughter.
Professor Braun, you've taken a very bad knock. Spike here, you look after him.
Yes, conductor here.
Bernie, this is more complicated than I thought. It is my contention that the Herr Grubman we have come to know is also Professor Ziggy Braun, formerly head curator of the Triennium Institute. They appear to be sharing the same body.
Yes, conductor, that's because he's a nutter.
As usual, Bernie, you have opted for flippancy where a much deeper explanation is required. Whilst you were being held prisoner on Raymond and Hildegard's time tube, Herr Grubman told me he was convinced that his blindness and subsequent telepathy were the direct result of a head-on collision with a Viennese tram, which he said came out of nowhere. He described the tram as having two bright headlights.
So?
There are no trams in turn-of-the-century Vienna with two headlights. They all have a single one below the operator's cabin window.
Oh, I knew that.
You wouldn't even sat at Gittin's Spikea.
There's only one vehicle that could have moved fast enough and yet completely disappeared without trace.
What, a coach and horses?
No, they're too slow.
A Sinclair C5?
Well, that disappeared without trace, all right, but it's still too slow. No. I believe that Herr Grubman was struck by another time bus, one which was out of control, and one in which Professor Braun was the conductor.
minutes.
I can't hear myself think.
Hildegard, I must be allowed to practice my scales. After all, I am an artist.
The man whose body you're occupying is an artist. You are not an artist. You are a jelly chopper. Not a very convincing one at that.
You know, there was a time, Hildegard, when I enjoyed your insults. But now they begin to sound hollow. In short, your abuse bores me. I think our partnership is almost at an end. Why are you looking at me like that?
Put your hands back on the keys.
No, I've done enough practicing for today.
Put them on the keys.
No, Hildegard, please. I didn't...
Them on the keys.
Ow! That hurt! Will you do it again?
Now shut up and listen to me. In a few hours, the greatest concert the world has ever seen will begin. You, in the body of Beethoven, on stage performing new collaborations with Mozart, live. It'll be magnificent. Now, have you done what I asked?
Oh, yes. I think you'll agree, Hildegard, that I've assembled a unique collection of formidable talents. Only an eclectic and diverse range of quality artists could seriously compliment myself and Mozart on stage tonight. I know you won't be disappointed. Oh, and could I ask you a special favour?
Yeah?
Don't let the support trough their way through our beer and sandwiches.
Ow! Melonhead! Now, does little Wolfie know where he's playing tonight?
Well, I mentioned a concert venue in the mountains. He seemed a little confused.
So he should be. The 167,000-seater stadium in New Geneva will literally take his breath away. Uniting Mozart and Beethoven on stage in the year 3012 will take the world's breath away.
Yes. Oh!
Right, we leave in 1 hour. You look disgusting. Do go and get dressed. Oh, and wash behind your ears.
If you really are Professor Braun from the Triennium Institute, then what were you doing in 19th century Vienna?
It may surprise you to know, but I was once what you are, a Rootmaster.
You know, the interpolator is not itself just now. Please continue.
After one trip, my time bus developed a mechanical fault, forcing me to stop near the Triennium Institute, the greatest museum ever built. You'll find everything there, from the pyramids to Stonehenge, from the Dead Sea Scrolls to the Blue Peter time capsule.
The Blue Peter time capsule?
Yes, centuries from your time, Bernie, the Blue Peter time capsule becomes a sacred and revered object. Do go on, Professor.
I joined the Institute as a curator, fell in love with a paleontologist called Brunhild, and gave her a daughter, Hildegard.
So why didn't you live happily ever after?
We did, for a while. Hildegard became an archaeologist and then head curator of the Institute. I was so proud of her. She was in her element. It became her life. And then one day, the unthinkable happened.
Man City won the FA Cup.
Bernie, they won 3 years running in 2017.
Oh, God.
Now, I think the professor is referring to the Mont Blanc earthquake of 3011.
In just 3 minutes, 50,000 years of heritage lay ruined under Alpine rock. Hildegard was beside herself. She demanded that we go back in time to replace those exhibits with items ferried from before the earthquake. When I refused, she became incandescent with rage and stormed off. The following morning, she disappeared, taking a temporal beacon from my timebus.
Which she used to flag down Raymond. I still don't understand, Professor. If you are from the 30th century, how can you be occupying the body of a blind zither player from 19th century Vienna?
I managed to make some hasty repairs and followed her and Raymond to Vienna, but the time bus overshot its stop. I got out, secured the gravichromatic drive vectors, closed the breech port, and terminated the dihedral resonator.
So what happened?
I forgot to put the handbrake on.
Ah.
The bus took off, hitting me full on, and accelerated into the future, where a split second later it struck her Grubermann before disappearing for good. In that spatial breach, our two personalities were instantaneously fused.
Yes, so when you fell down the stairs, it was Herr Grubermann who fell unconscious, allowing you, Professor Braun, to emerge as the dominant personality.
We're almost time told to open the venial pipe chalk, Conductor Rear.
What's wrong with her?
She's from Mitcham.
It looks like we're approaching our destination. Professor, you're familiar with the controls of a time bus. What do you make of these?
Very nice, but it's not my kind of thing.
No, not those. These.
If your readings are correct, we're pulling up near the giant New Geneva Amphibole, somewhere around 3012, the same year as the Triennium Memorial Concert. It was organized to raise funds for the reconstruction.
Well, according to the interpolator, Raymond and your daughter are in there. And I'm sure they're not here to sell ice cream.
Well, Hildegard, what do you think?
I'd hardly call Glenn Miller eclectic, diverse and formidable. Is this the best you could find?
Well, his appeal lies with the mature end of our audience. Anyway, how do I look?
You're fine, except for the jacket.
Oh, I thought that was the best part.
Yes, but I don't think Beethoven ever wore a yellow sequined tuxedo. You look like Liberace. Now get rid of it and lose the choir boy.
You're the boss. You, bugger off. What a romantic melody. You know, Hildegard, there's nothing I like better than a good tune.
Look, are you and Mozart ready to perform?
Oh, yes. We've got quite a program worked out. You'll never have heard anything like this. If I say so myself, it's quite brilliant.
Getting the interpolator to reproduce these access all areas backstage passes was a masterstroke, conductor.
Maybe, but this place is vast. Even using the portable interpolator's proximity radar, it could take us hours to find them.
Conductor here! Look here! Look here!
Spike here, you've already had an ice cream and a balloon.
No, conductor. Look at what's written on the T-shirts. Wolfie and Beatty and their two pianos live, featuring Glenn Miller, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens and Puff Daddy. Well, I've heard of the others, but who are Wolfie and Beatty?
Mozart and Beethoven. Hildegard was passionate about them.
Passionate enough to put together something as audacious as a concert featuring Beethoven and Mozart?
And there's only one person who could assemble such a tasteless selection of support acts.
Raymond.
Oh, get off. Go on, get out of my sight. What is the matter with you, Raymond? Have you no taste? Little brain. Every one of these support artists has been dreadful.
I assure you, Hildegard, they were much in demand.
Yes, but this is the last time I'll ever hear them.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the last time anyone will ever hear them.
Get Mozart on stage now. At least his precious collaborations with you will make this event worthwhile.
Whatever you say, Hildegard. Wolfie!
I'm coming!
Okay, Ludwig. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Wolfie.
Excuse me, what is that?
What?
That thing you're sitting at. It is not a piano.
No, you're quite right. It's a drum kit.
But why aren't you sitting at the piano? Thousands of people are expecting Beethoven to sit at a piano, not a drum kit.
Well, you crushed my fingers so hard earlier that they stiffened up, and I can't bend them now. So I thought, well, why don't I play along with Wolfie on the drums instead? Listen. Ready, Wolfie? I'll count you in. 1, 2, 3, 4... What do you think, Hildegard?
No, Hildegard?
Daddy?
Hildegard?
Raymond?
Raymond?
Daddy?
Bernie?
Hildegard?
Raymond?
Mummy?
Hildegard?
Raymond?
Raymond?
Daddy?
Raymond?
Mummy?
Conductor?
Haven't we been round this once? Oh! What are you doing, Hildegard?
It's time to go. We're being upstaged.
Hildegard, what happened to you? Why are you doing these things?
I have to go, Daddy.
No, stay with me. This is our home. We'll build a new institute together.
Please let me go. Daddy, let me go!
Hildegard, no! How?
Oh, no. He's gone and cracked his head on my flask, Hildegard. I'm leaking out all over the stage.
I'm so sorry, Daddy. It's too late now. It can never be like it was.
Oh, the smell! Oh, my head. Is that your voice I can hear, Bernie?
Herr Gruberman? But a moment ago, you were the professor. Oh, it's the knock. It must have reawakened your side of the personality.
Now, Bernie, would you mind awfully scooping some of my leakage into that ashtray?
We haven't time for this motor membrane.
Well, just try and keep it damp while I'm away.
Well, now that everyone is safely back in their own part of the universe, can you take me back to mine?
Yeah, we're approaching your stop now, Herr Grubman.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Now, which way shall I go? Ouch!
Conductor,
I think you should have told him where he really was. I mean, he won't know his way around Vienna in 1948.
He won't need to, Bernie. An hour after I dropped him off, his dreadful zither playing came to the attention of a British film director. I think he's about to change his name to Anton Karas.
What about you, Spikea?
Oh, let me kilter all over you, Conductor here.
I think she's got the hots for you, Conductor.
Oh, yes, yes, please.
Well, she's an anorak bus spotter from 24th Century Mitcham. Someone's got to look after her, I suppose.
Yes!
What happens to me, Conductor?
Well, that's up to you, Bernie. But I am a man of my word. Here we are, old chap. This is where you got on.
What? You're going to dump me here, then?
Oh, don't worry. There's another bus right behind. Goodbye, old chap.
Goodbye, Conductor.
Bernie, I'm rather troubled. It's this picture of Henry VIII. There's something not quite right about it. See for yourself.
Well, it looks fine. Apart from one minor detail, Henry VIII wasn't black.
He is now. I need your help, Bernie. We've no time to lose. Hold on, everyone.
In that episode of The Root Masters by Andrew McGibbon, Amanda Donohoe was Hildegard, Andrew McGibbon was Raymond, Carl Linz was the conductor, Owen Evans was Bernie, Andy Mulligan was Herr Gruberman, Sophie Aldred was Spikea, Nick Romero was Mozart and the pilot, Dan Friedman was Glenn Miller, and Alex Lowe was Taffy. The theme tune was written by Ozzy Temple and other original music by Nick Romero. Additional material was written by Rob Colley and Kevin Greening. The programme was produced and directed by Julian Mayers.